got inside of me. So I looked up and looked deep.
And greetings to the saints of the lost and found sheep of the house of Israel. This is Pastor Peters, and this is Scriptural Study and Insight of a Different Kind. I like to mix them up a little bit. And if you notice, the title was The Canaanite In-Law. And it's based, this lesson is, on 30 years plus of minister experience. And what you learn when you learn the Anglo-Israel truth, and from years of counseling different marriage problems. And you begin to see something. Now, those of you that come to our studies know that when we see something that's true, that isn't politically correct, we're not afraid to tell you the truth. Now, the truth is, the world has been made to believe a lie, that we are all of one blood. We carry a book by Charles Wiseman called One Blood, and they pervert a scripture found in Genesis dealing with Eve, and they would have us all believe that everyone is of the same blood. And let me tell you, blood affects the way you are. I've got a Radio Ranch hound dog. We call him Hatchet. Now, I never trained him to be a cow dog. He absolutely has cow dog in his blood. He knows exactly how to work cows, and who taught him, I don't know. It's just there. But I've also been around Labradors, and you throw a stick in water, and you can't keep them from dragging you into that water. Get that stick. It's just in their blood. They want to get in that water. The point is, the life is in the blood. And there are some that are genetically wired differently than others. Once you realize that God is still the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that there are Israelites, you also come to realize there are Edomites. You heard, if you've listened to any of this preacher's preaching, that God hates Esau, Edom. Well, there's also other ites out there, parasite things, called Canaanites. And I think I want to start off, I got some notes here in front of me, by having us go to what I would call a water under the bridge type of Bible story. It's found in Joshua 16:10. And basically, when God took Israel and brought them into the promised land, that land was full of Canaanites, different people. And the Lord said to see to it that they either were off the land or under the land. They were not to live in the same land with Canaanites. The water under the bridge story is found in Joshua 16:10, and we read it says, But they did not drive out the Canaanites who lived in Gezer. So the Canaanites lived in the midst of Ephraim to this day, and they became forced laborers. So, that's the water under the bridge story. God said do it, and we, our people, did not. And now the people today, centuries and centuries and centuries removed, are here to pay the penalty of what they did, of disobedience. Before we go further, let's kind of get an idea where these Canaanites came from. We know what came off the ark was Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We go to Genesis 9:20. Noah's now off the ark, and it tells us something that Noah did, and then as a result of what Noah did, God did. So Genesis 9:20 says this. Then Noah began farming and planted a vineyard. And he drank the wine and became drunk and uncovered himself inside his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and walked backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were turned away, so they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine, he knew what his youngest son had done to him. So he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants, he shall be to his brothers." What I want you to see there is that Canaan was cursed. Well, what went on there? We don't have a lot of time to spend there, but real rapidly, I'll tell you what I think went on. Noah got drunk, probably his wife too, and they did what they did in the tent. And then when he was passed out drunk, his son came in, Ham, who was the father of Canaan. And the Bible says he saw his father's nakedness. Now notice that God did not curse Ham. He cursed Canaan. Why? Well, Canaan was the son of Ham. What took place is we better understand it by going to Leviticus 18, verse 6. Leviticus 18, verse 6 talks about looking upon the nakedness of a relative. And this is what it says. None of you shall approach any blood relative of his to uncover his nakedness. I am the Lord. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father, that is, the nakedness of your mother. She is your mother. You are not to uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. It is your father's nakedness. And what's that talking about is incest. And I think what went on there was Ham committed incest. And the result of that act was Canaan, his son. And there's a reason. God has reasonable reasons, you might say, behind every one of his laws. And so, genetically, this is not something you want done. He did it. And as a result, the Canaanites they're wired differently. Let's put it that way. Another scripture to back this up is Deuteronomy 22:30. And then I don't want to spend a lot of time on all this. I want to get to the characteristics of a Canaanite in-law. But it says, we read, a man shall not take his father's wife so that he shall not uncover his father's skirt. So that's what Ham did. The result was the conception of a child named Canaan, from what I can see. But we certainly see that Canaan, the father of the Canaanites, was cursed. They are a cursed lot. They are. Now, what's going to happen when the Canaanites and the Israelites live together in the same area? It's not hard to figure out. They're going to marry. And they're going to marry and have children. But there's going to be marriage problems, pure and simple, when they do. There was a reason God said, don't let them live with you. Like I said, I'm talking from 30 years experience and observation. And some might say, how do you get anybody to listen to you, preacher? Well, the only reason I got somebody listening is because they want the truth. I'm going to tell you some truth, some marriage counseling truth that most preachers could never tell you. They don't understand it. If they did, they probably wouldn't tell you anyway. But first of all, I want to tell you, a female dog's a female dog, and will always be a female dog. Jesus said one time in Matthew 15:26 to a female, he said, and he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to the dogs. Now, what he was doing there was calling this old gal, this Canaanite woman, a dog. I didn't write the Bible. I'm just telling you what it is. And you know what a female dog is called. And I tell you what, you get one of them in your family, you got problems. Oh, it works both ways. If you get a female Canaanite hound dog as a daughter-in-law, or if you get a Canaanite male hound as a son-in-law, there's going to be problems. Beware of it. Philippians 2:2 simply says, beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. Most are not even aware that there are such. We go on in regards to Scripture to Genesis 24, verse 2. Now you say, well, this guy's a bigot. He's some kind of racist. They got all kinds of titles for a man that would dare sit here and tell you the truth out there. But the truth is, old Abraham didn't want his son just marrying any old Tom, Dick, and Harry hound dog that came along. This is what it says in Genesis 24, verse 2. It talks about how he made a promise, or made his servant promise, not to take a wife from the Canaanites. Genesis 24, verse 2, and then we're going to go to Genesis 36, verse 2. Bring it up on the screen when you're ready. There it is. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he owned, please place your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live. Now, Abraham was a wise man. We would be wise to start praying for our children, grandchildren, whatever it might be. Oh, God forbid that we get any of them hooked up with a Canaanite. Problem is, we're all intermixed now, and it can be a problem. Genesis 36:2 says that Esau did just that. It says, Esau took his wives from the daughters of Canaan, Ada, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and a name I can't pronounce, the daughter of Anab, and the granddaughter of Zebon, the Hivite, also Basemath, Ishmael's daughter, the sister of Naboth. But the point is, he married into the Canaanite lineage. Now, what did this do for the family, according to the Bible? And I say that because I want you to know the same thing will happen to your family if one of your children marry a Canaanite. It's just that simple. It tells us in Genesis 27:46 that Rebecca was just beside herself because of the Canaanite daughter-in-laws. This is what we read. It says, and Rebecca said to Isaac, I am tired of living because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth, like these from the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? Now, the Lord said that these Canaanites would be thorns in our side and pricks in our eyes, and there's just no getting along with them. I'm just telling you how it is. Now, you're not going to have other preachers telling you this, but there's just no getting along with them because they are wired so entirely different. There was a reason God said, off the land or under it, but don't let them be around you, because he knew what could be done once you hooked up with them. Can't help but think just right offhand about old Samson. He found out the hard way. Oh, they may have had some hot good times, but it ends up being pretty bad at the end. In Genesis 28, verse 1, we have Isaac calling Jacob, and it says, so Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. So what I'm giving you is scripture. Well, that's the Old Testament. Well, it might be Old Testament, but I tell you what, it's still true. They are wired differently. And if you got one in the family, here's going to be family problems. So I want to give you some. I could address this both ways. I could address it from the standpoint of a Canaanite son-in-law or a Canaanite daughter-in-law. But I think I'm going to do it from the standpoint of a Canaanite daughter-in-law. They are thorns in your side, pricks in your eyes. Now, families in this country used to be close. They were a family unit. You look today and families are not close. They're dysfunctional, disjointed, divided. That's what the Canaanite does. I've watched it over the years. She'll divide the family. She does not want her man close to her, to his brothers or his mother and father. And quite often they'll even put things, well, you got to leave your father and mother and cleave your wife. They'll use the scriptures against you. And the Canaanite will use things to control. There's one thing that she knows how to use in regards to control. Well, there's several things, but one first thing right off the bat is that, well, things at the first are hot and tantalizing before the marriage. But it's not long, I've noticed, after the marriage or into the marriage that the marriage bed becomes pretty cool fairly fast, maybe downright cold, unless the man's a good boy. Control seems to be part of their nature. Control also includes, and I've got quite a list here. How many minutes do I have out there? Give me a general idea. Control, excuse me, I got a little scratch in my eye here. Control can be in this manner. I've watched them. They know that, say, for example, as the Canaanite daughter-in-law, that the man wants peace in the home. Or the man really does. Now, these points that I'm making, let me tell you this. We've got plenty of Israelites that have taken on the ways of Canaanites. You've got spiritual Canaanites out there as well. The only difference is one can repent and the other one can't, I guess. But control in this manner, that is, they take and you got peace if you give them what they want. And it's kind of the old adage, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody going to be happy. And so the man will always try to find himself trying to make mama happy so there can be a little peace in the family. still working this thing out in the way of notes is that discontent seems to be their lot. You cannot make them happy. It's like you try and they want this, they want that. And it's a never-ending process. I've watched men that are married to a Canaanite woman. Now, it goes the other way, too. I mean, I've seen women married to a Canaanite man. He abuses them. He uses them. He doesn't appreciate them. And again, Israelites can become spiritual Canaanites. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm just saying is that the characteristics of these people, I've seen them kidnap. Oh, there's more than one way to kidnap. Take some young girl, one that I've often used an illustration of, 18 going on 13, and the whole family seduced her and took her. They'll just use her. But discontent, you can't please her if you've got a Canaanite wife. And control, control, control. When they get children, they've got great control. They're able to use, and they do use children against, well, they'll use it against the grandparents. It used to be that it was understood of what a blessing loving grandparents were. But they will take and remove those children from the grandparents and have no compunction about it. And they also, there's an underlining thing here. It's kind of a blackmail deal. And that is, there's an under the surface truth that's just a flowing there, and they both know it. In the society that we're in today, she knows and he knows that if she wants to lower the hammer, she can take those kids from him and take half of everything or more of what he's got and hold him, actually make him pay for her whoredom. I've seen this happen many times. It's kind of a crazy arrangement we got in this land today. The old female hound dog slut that she is, she'll dump this guy, take his kids, know that she can hire a band of thieves called attorneys to assist her, and they've got him in a position to where they pay for her whoredom. What do I mean by that? She'll go out and get herself a boyfriend, shack up with him, and he doesn't have to pay for a thing because she's getting her pay from the ex-husband who's paying the child support and the alimony. And there's this underlying current that if you push it too far, I can not only take the kids from your parents, as I'm doing, but I can take them from you and take you to the cleaners. And they are so cold-blooded that they will. Now, Jesus said they will steal, kill, and destroy. Stealing, killing, and destroying. They curse you is another thing that happens. I was counseling a situation here a while back, and I told the man, I said, you know, he knew the scriptures. I said, what is the first scripture with promise? And he knew the answer. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, the Bible says, so that things will go well with you and you'll have a long life. That's the promise of honoring father and mother. But in order to have peace in the family, the Canaanite female hound dog will cause the man to dishonor father or mother. In this case, the young man could not allow his father over to his house. No reason, just that she forbid it. She didn't like it. And there was going to be a big family gathering. I don't know what it was, doesn't make any difference. But the point is that he's not allowed to give the honor to his father to come. She, as I told him, without him knowing it, is cursing him, shortening his life. And I went ahead and told him, how much time I got left now? I said, here are some of the things that are going on in your life. And I was able to hit them right on the line. I said, now, you want to go to an average preacher for counseling, and this is what they're going to tell you. You need to be more understanding. You need to be more loving. Leave and cleave. That's the one preacher I actually told him that. Leave and cleave. Leave your father, mother, and cleave her. I said, what in the world does inviting your father over to a family gathering have to do with leaving and cleaving? It's absolute nonsense. And I went ahead and told him what she was doing to him in regards to the marriage bed, the control, and I said, I want to tell you something else. You are glad to be out of the house and at work, aren't you? And he had to admit that he was, because she was draining him of energy. They are energy parasites. And I've watched it over the years when they get hooked up. I said to this individual, I said, here is God's order in the home. It's Christ and then man and then the woman. And he was making a remark how one time she said, well, I got to see what the boss has to say about something. And he thought, what hypocrisy, because he knew he wasn't the boss. But, of course, they are very good at putting on a show. Let me tell you something else they're good at. They're good at using sorcery. I've known some that have taught their daughters to use black magic on their husbands, literally. This is the lot of the Canaanite. Now, Jesus said they come to steal and to kill and destroy. Now, the counsel I gave was you got to get this house in order. But it's got to be done. You cannot, you've got to use spiritual weapons with a Canaanite. You've got to take the authority. I can see I'm running out of time, but the last words of David dealing with these thorns and thistles in 2 Samuel, he said you have to use a rod of iron. And it occurred to me what that is. That rod of iron was probably the scepter, which means the authority. And so I told the man, you have to use the authority you have in Christ. And we had prayer and to bind her. You have to bind these creatures. Use the authority that you have, because you're dealing with a spiritual force that you cannot do anything else with them. You've got to do that. And then you got to put things in order. If you don't have the right things in order, you don't have the authority. But you also need to remember this. They're like black widows. I've seen this. A lot of them will kill their husbands. You can take it or leave it. But if they know you got some good life insurance and you're not going to be willing to be controlled, you better be on your guard. And poison is one of their favorite methods. Oh, my. I know it's the energy transfer. I've seen as they get older, the man begins to shuffle his feet and follow her around. She gets stronger. When they first got married, he was bulky and strong, and she was the weaker one. But as time goes on, there's that energy transfer. And one other thing, as I told this young man, we just assume having the ability to love that everyone has this ability. It's not in their blood. They can fake it. They can appear like it, but they cannot love. There was a reason God said, off the land or under the land. Now it's too late. You don't even know who they are. You better pray that you don't get hooked up with one. But if you do, you got to use spiritual weapons against them. And you got to take authority over them. You're not going to get this kind of counseling from preachers, but there are some marriages out there, and some families begin to realize, hey, this old gal, she is a Canaanite, and she is cold-blooded as the refrigeration in hell. And so, anyway, I like to mix up these scriptural studies and insights. Take it for what it's worth. You can take it or leave it, believe it or not. But that's a study I want to give you.
Well, this is a bit precarious. If this was a film, the jacket would probably start to rip at this point.
Yeah, but this is a Mac Pack. They have a sale on now, actually.
Well, how much off are we talking?
A bit, I reckon.
Let's go after this.
Yep.
All right, catch you in the next episode.